Mark chapter 3 and verses 23 to 27. Jesus replies. Remember that the scribes, the teachers of the law, have accused Christ of being possessed by Satan. So Jesus called them and spoke to them in parables. And this is how he started, with a great question. How can Satan drive out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. If a house is divided against itself, that house cannot stand. And if Satan opposes himself and is divided, he cannot stand. His end has come. In fact, no one can enter a strong man's house and carry off his possessions unless he first ties up the strong man. Then he can rob his house, and so on. Mark chapter 3, verses 23 to 27. You'll notice how Jesus exposes their hearts. He goes straight for it. This is Satan you're accusing me of. You're saying that I am possessed by the devil himself. And stop mumbling in your beards about it. I know what you're saying there. I know what's in your hearts. I know what you're saying behind my back. You cannot fool me. This is what Christ is saying. It's a warning for us, my friend. It's a warning to you. I address you. I address myself in it. Christ hears, Christ sees, Christ reads everything from my heart, my thoughts, my innermost beings. He perceives it all. Nothing is hidden. Everything is exposed and bare and made clear to him. Everything will be made open. Luke 8, verse 17. And how Jesus exposes it here, he does so with a question, which is very often. Very few preachers ask questions, or they ask questions which are self-evident in the answer. But no, these are probing questions. These are searching questions. These are forcing these people to think. As I say, he's going for the jugular. He's going for the crux. These people say, I'm demon-possessed. Right. Now, look at the people who've been healed. They've been demon-possessed, haven't they? You've all agreed with that, right? So you're saying, are you really, that the devil drives out demons? You say, I'm mad? Look in the mirror, my friends. You're the ones who are mad. And I say it again, I've said it before in these discourses. It's the atheist, it's the unbeliever who is mad. I know the unbeliever and the atheist thinks the believer is off his rocker, but he's not. We're the same ones. The fool hath said in his heart there is no God. And look at what they believe in to get round the fact that God exists. And if people don't believe in trust in Christ, they don't believe and trust in nothing. They believe and trust in nonsense. And these people, these scribes of the law, are talking through the back of their heads here. Do they really believe that the devil is engaged in a civil war with himself? No, my friend. It's so obvious what they're saying is wrong. But you see, I preach somewhere that the truth is not enough, and the truth is not enough. We need a new heart, a new mind, a new will. It's not the facts which are wrong here, or misunderstood, or not comprehended, or whatever you want to say. No, they know the truth, all right, but they don't want to know. It's like when Jesus asked them about John the Baptist, they said, well, we can't say. They could say, all right, but they wouldn't say. They didn't want to say. And then Christ goes and gives the positive, goes on. I've come, he said, to tackle this Satan. No man enters a strong man's house and carries off his possessions unless he first ties him up and so on. Now, there's a battle, and it goes right back to Genesis 3, verse 15, and it goes right on to the end. 1 John 3, verse 8, Christ came into the world to take on Satan and abolish his works, and he rescues sinners who all their lives are subject to bondage at Satan's will captive. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 26. Colossians 2 verse 15. Christ triumphed over his enemies on the cross. He made a show of them. It was a battle. He was bruised, even died, but he gained the victory over Satan. Read Revelation 20 verse 10. Satan and his minions will be cast in the lake of fire, where there's everlasting torment. Christ in his life was tempted. Christ in his birth was attacked. You remember, they wanted to kill the babies. In his temptation in the wilderness, all through his life, supremely on the cross, it was one long battle. But he gained the victory and rescued his people. This is what Christ is saying. He liberates them and he brings them out by his death, his blood and righteousness. Let me quote Charles Wesley to you. I won't go through the whole hymn. It's a very long one. And Can It Be? That's the hymn I'm speaking of. Let me take up at this verse. This is what Wesley says about himself. He was an Anglican, he was a minister, he was this and he was that. But he said, long my imprisoned spirit lay, fast bound in sin and nature's night. And then he speaks of Christ. Thine eye diffused a quickening ray. I woke, the dungeon flame with lights. My chains fell off. My heart was free. I rose, went forth, and followed thee, and so on. No condemnation now I dread. Jesus, and all in him is mine, alive in him, my living head, and clothed in righteousness divine. Bold I approach the eternal throne, and claim the crown through Christ my own. We have the victory, brother and sister. Why? Because Christ had the victory. Christ takes their nonsense, he destroys their nonsense, and then he gives the positive truth. And what a glorious truth. Christ, who came into such humiliation and suffering, came out the other end a conquering hero. See, the conquering hero comes. Christ in glory. He ascended in glory. And one day he's coming in glory, and all men will have to appear before him and receive their doom. May God awaken us now to the fact that he sees us, he knows us, and he will make everything bare. May we trust in Christ now and flee to him for mercy. For mercy is found in Christ alone, but it is found there. Even for you, my friend, if you will come now. So come, I plead with you. Amen.